Eileen in Gwydor is with me. Hi, Eileen.
Hello, Greg. Lovely to talk with you.
Lovely to talk to you too. You sound full of the joys of spring and also in the depths of winter, Eileen. How are you keeping?
Well, I always try to stay happy. It's the only way.
Well, my mood's already lifted and I've only said hello to you. Right, so we were talking about Port Arthur and its name. Talk to me. You've been doing your research.
Yes, because I would have been asked as well, because I uploaded hundreds of photographs of Port Arthur on my own profile page and other pages like Visit Donegal, and so I would get queries as well. So I looked it up in Google because it didn't tell us why the local one was called Port Arthur, but I heard my father telling me when I was a child, and plenty of other neighbours as well, because I had a curious mind even when I was young, that there was a great battle. So I have Google here in front of me. The battle conflict was in February 1904. It was the beginning of the Russian-Japanese War, and anybody who wants more details can Google it. But they were building this, constructing it probably is the word, this bridge here in Gwydor at that time. And just the locals, because the war was, this big war was topical talk, and they just decided to nickname the local pier Port Arthur. It's just as simple as that. I doubt very much it would be called after an Englishman. Not a blooming chance.
And Eileen, though, so, but the area in which this pier is constructed, does it have its name? So Port Arthur, is that the nickname for the pier or this construction? But in which, I think also we're trying to get to the bottom of what the original name may be. But I suppose if it's about the structure, sure, the structure, we can timeline that to 1900, whatever it is.
Yeah, it was the time that I really, probably the pier would be just called the pier. I've never heard anything yet called anything but Port Arthur. But it would be Carrick Boyle, as the lady said. I never heard it called Carrick Boyle Pier. I really don't know the answer to that
but
one.
The pier, but the location, the bay in which the pier is located.
Yeah, well,
what's the name of it?
Inishmen, the island of Inishmen is right out in front of it.
Eileen, you're skirting around it and you're not answering the question.
And I'm not, because I've never heard it called anything but Port Arthur, because it would be kind of difficult to, because there are so many townlands,
yes,
kind of edging into that area.
Mm-hmm.
There is no specific name it could be called, truly. I suppose it was easier to give it a nickname. Mm. There's one along the road, along the beach there in Marigallan, and they just call that one the new pier, because
right,
there was an old pier. And that shows that, how do you call? They just don't call it. They just call it by local, you know, wherever it happens,
yeah,
to be built. And that shows you, with the new pier in Marigallan, they couldn't really think of a name, so they just called it the new pier.
So if I said to you, Eileen, I want to come and visit Port Arthur Pier, where is Port Arthur?
It's a mile outside Derrybeg, going northwards, and you just turn a left down one of the side roads. I'm sure it comes up on
Google Maps. You
Google,
love Google
or whatever.
Now, come here. Thank you so much for that, Eileen. Are you all set for, are you looking forward to Christmas? All set for it, or?
Not particularly.
Right, okay.
I have no family left, so it's kind of lonesome. But my neighbours are very good to me.
Yes. And do you listen to us, Eileen?
Never off, Greg.
Well, where are your family, Eileen?
All through the night.
I'm your family,
Pardon?
Eileen. I'm your family too, then.
Should I know that?
Okay,
sure, I know that.
All right, you're never
Highland,
alone.
All the guys in Highland.
Exactly.
I'll say thank you to all of them now. Bernard Harper, Rosemary, and Aidan Murphy would be three of my favourites, as well as you,
brilliant,
of course.
Oh, thanks, Eileen. Anytime you want to chat, just give us a buzz.
Well, I probably made a fool of myself, but who
what
cares?
What do you mean, Eileen? No, hold on. You get out of that. You did not. Not at all, Eileen. I've loved, genuinely loved chatting to you.
Ah, thank you, Greg. I know you're a lovely person and a great, great guy on Highland. Sure, we would be lost without you.
All right. You say that. Listen, Maureen, I'm talking to Maureen next. Eileen, thank you so very much indeed, okay? And happy Christmas. And I'll be thinking on you on Christmas Day. Is that all right?
Ah, lovely. Thank you, too. And happy Christmas to everyone, Eileen. I know that's listening. Thank you.
Take care of yourself. God bless you. That's Eileen there. I mentioned Maureen O'Donnell, Highland Radio Sports. She was down in Parnell Park, Co-Coms. Good morning, Maureen. How are you getting on?
Good morning, Greg. I'm doing good.
Good stuff. Thanks so much for sparing the time out of your busy day. Just reflecting on the big game of the weekend from a local perspective, Downing's Ladies, they were beaten in the end by Mongret St. Paul's of Limerick in yesterday's All-Ireland Junior Ladies Club final at Parnell Park. And hopefully they can sort of reflect on the season and the silverware and take a great deal of comfort for that. But you know yourself, often, Maureen, and I've talked to Brendan Devaney about this, it's often the games you lose that you remember, but hopefully the girls take a great deal of pride and joy from the season that they've had.
Yeah, absolutely. What you said is 100%, and I know Brendan will concur, but you know, I think there's a lot of learning from the games you lose as well. So, like, and I said to Julie Trudy after yesterday, she was hugely disappointed, Barney as well. Like, and it's hard to hear from a player's perspective after you've just lost probably one of the biggest outings of your life, you know, which is the cup. It's hard to, coming from another person, it's hard to say, you don't want to hear it. You don't want to hear that, you know, look, you've had a great year and all of that. But it's only when you reflect back as a player myself. That's for intercom there, Greg. I have busy school here. But when you reflect back as a player yourself, and I think this will happen. They will take time and see that, you know, listen, they're the second best team in the country at the minute as it stands. Look, if they had said that to themselves at the beginning of the year, they'd be saying, you're off your head. But they are, and that's the stats. They were in the final. Now they were probably up against a better team, maybe due to the grading, but we can talk about that. But out of 12 games this year, they have 11 wins and one loss. So for me, I think from looking in, and for all the supporters and the families and everybody like yourselves looking in and the whole county, what an achievement.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, an absolute achievement. They started off in Championship in August, and to get to this level and where they got, it's phenomenal. And I think that they should be so proud of themselves, Greg.
Oh, yeah, because just the joy that they've brought to obviously your own parish. But what happens is people around then start getting on the journey with you, don't you? And especially so deep into December, the whole county took an interest in it yesterday. And there's levels in everything, Maureen, isn't there? You know, there's levels in boxing, in athletics and what have you. And, you know, the Downing's team are amazing in what they've achieved. But I don't know if it's the more senior players on their team or what have you. But St. Paul's they just seem just a little bit better on the day, if that makes sense. And it's hard to say that without it sounding disrespectful to Downing's, because I thought they were amazing and amazing all season. But there's just levels there sometimes.
There is, and you know, you have to compare the profile of players that were out in the pitch yesterday. And yes, there was a level of, you know, probably more experience in the Mongret St. Paul's team. They were a lot older as a players, which is a good thing for Downies, because those Downies players aren't going anywhere for a number of years. So when you look at what they've achieved this year and what they can only achieve in the future, it's unbelievable. So, you know, maybe St. Mongret's were a team that, you know, are. You know, there are a lot of their girls maybe near the end of their careers as well. And you see that happening. But, you know, the positive to take from that is that Downies will be there, and they'll be there next year. And that loss yesterday, as I said to them, will stand to them now going into the Intermediate Championship next year. Now, what happened with St. Paul's Mongrels is that they're intermediate at club level. So they're sitting in the second tier when they're playing in their county. And often because of gradings within the JAA, they then went into junior grading. And that, they say, is to make things fair, because they don't have a very competitive county championship. So, but when you look at it, you know, they're probably a team that are more suited to an intermediate grading. And that's something I think they need to get you know, spend a wee bit more time on and get right. So, you mean, there's some consolation maybe in that too as well. Maybe there's a bit of unfairness there as well, you know, when they look back. Mm. But listen, look.
But I on just, the day too, though, Maureen, again, and sort of where they'll reflect and move forward, even with the advantage of the wind, they went down with the long ball approach. And I think that's very difficult then, firstly, to control the ball as it hops off the surface or even to take it out of the sky, and persisted with that a little bit, perhaps longer than they might have. And also moving the ball, do you know what I mean? Trying to move and progress the ball forward. On the couple of occasions that got right, there was a couple of wonderful points from Dannings in relation to that. But those are just a couple of areas maybe that there might be a little bit of frustration amongst the team in relation to, is getting that working on the day with the nerves and everything else.
Yeah, of course. And like, those are sort of factors that you can't really train for. You know, the element of, there was such a strong breeze yesterday, such a strong one. And then, as I said yesterday as well, do you go with the wind in the first half? Or do you go against it and the fact that it might die down in the second half? Or you might try and get a few points on the board and stay with it in the first half so that you have the advantage of the breeze. Those are factors that you can only decide on the day as well. And you mentioned the nerves as well. Like, that's the first time some of those girls have stood on behind the Artane boys band, like, and walked around the pitch. And even that, the nerves are there, and, you know, their families are cheering them on. Like, there are a huge number of factors that you don't even think of. You're trying to get your game plan right on the day. So, but as you mentioned, like, when they did get up the field, and some of the passages of play was lovely to watch. And look, they did themselves very proud on the day. They'll probably be disappointed with the fact that they didn't get on the scoreboard and the second half, and probably should have. And another day, Denise would have put away that penalty as well. And maybe there would have been a little turning point in the game, you know. But as I say, like, in 60 minutes of football, things go so many different ways.
Yeah. And there was a couple of, I mean, it's whataboutery a little bit too, but there was a couple of instances where there could have been two goals in the first half, which would have changed the complexion of the game altogether, because maybe they could have even set up, you know, more defensive in the second half or whatever. There's so many variables, as you know yourself from having played the game, Maureen. There's little moments in games, isn't there, where things turn. You miss out on 3 points. The opposition go up and extend their lead to 4 or 5 points, and it's in those moments that things can slip away.
That is absolutely. You know, Lauren McBride just shy of the post yesterday, and we all thought it was in, and it was a fantastic passage of play. Like, the crowd were on their feet, and, you know, when the ball was being turned over by Downey's, the crowd were on the feet. You wanted to hear the supporters. At one stage I thought, is there anybody here from the other side hearing? You know, but that's just typical Donegal people. You know, we really go out and force to support our players, and, you know, which is a brilliant thing as well. But as you say, like, things like that can change a game. And I mean, had Lauren McBride put that away at that stage, I'm sure she's saying to herself, if I only had to put it in the net, like, and you have these what ifs and what if moments. But, and I think, like, that's the learning. You, like, because when Termin, when we lost in 2010, the All-Ireland semi-final, I remember there was a massive crowd in Termin that day, and we were just, it was something we couldn't come back from, and people were trying to console us as well. But, like, it took us 4 years to get back from that.
Yeah.
You know, we probably never believed that we'd ever get back to that stage. But the one thing is, you do remember those heavy defeats, and they stay with you, but they also drive you on to be better, you know, to go out the next day, because you've learned from all the different mistakes that maybe happened on that day, and you don't want to do it again.
And the women's game, you know, needs more, like, you know, Dunlow going great. You mentioned Termin and what have you, and some other great teams. And, you know, Downings are up a level now. You know, there's 28 players, effectively 29 players in that squad, as far as I'm aware. And as you mentioned, many of them are younger. And also, I'd say there's some of the ladies that are a little bit older that, you know, you talk out again because, you know, when you want to help out your club, don't you? But they might want to prefer to be standing watching it in the sidelines, right? So there's an awful lot to be positive for going forward. And, you know, the second best team in the country, an Ulster Cup in the bag as well. And 11 victories, just that one defeat. I'll take that. I'd take that if it were me.
Yeah, and I think when the players reflect, you know, and take that wee bit of time to reflect, you know, even the management and all, like, everybody else around the county and the club themselves are so, so proud of that achievement in itself. So it'll just take a wee bit of time for it to sink in, all of that. But, like, just You mentioned some of the good teams coming up in Ladies Football, and it's fantastic for the likes of maybe Terman and Glenfinnan at the top. But Downing's 2017, their ladies structure came together. Like they you know, they played the in 2018 the Comhortas Peel in the Gaeltacht, and fantastically, I mean, the one county and I think all Ireland at that stage. And then maybe a few quiet years working behind the scenes and all those young players in development. And look now at what they've achieved this year. Like, and I know they're playing in junior football, but they're definitely they're a big contender for intermediate next year from what I've seen this year. Aoife O'Connell will be back into that panel as well. I mean, and she was a huge miss as well. Had she been there, another factor yesterday, possibly it would have been a different day out for them as well. But like, just all I can say to the girls is just reflect back on the year that they've had. I think it's brilliant to see it within ladies football and Donegal. And you know, one thing that'll stand them is the supporters that were there yesterday. Those are supporters that will remain with you now because of the year they have given them. And that's what a community and club is all about. They're waiting for those big days. And again, next year, I have no doubt they'll be winning cups if they keep continuing the way they're doing.
And what you see too is, Maureen, you know, the younger girls and fellas that did the Guard of Honour for the semi-final, they look on and they say, we want a piece of that. And that's how it works, isn't it? You know, that's how, you know, they're inspiring a new generation to come forward and say, I want to be up in Dublin with hundreds of people cheering me on as well. Listen, really enjoyed the commentary. Managed to get the timing perfect with the YouTube stream. I was very proud of myself. Maureen, thanks very much for that, and take care of yourself. I do appreciate
you
welcome, chatting
Craig.
To us.
Happy Christmas, okay?
Happy Christmas to you, Maureen, and yours. Thank you very much indeed, Maureen O'Donnell there. Morning, Greg. Well done to Downing's on getting to a national final. They had a great year, 11 wins, one loss. But I know it's disappointing to get to a final and not win, but they will learn from this from all at Donegal and Ulster Community Games. Thanks, Greg. Thank you indeed. It's great when you can sort of go on a journey, especially when there's not much else happening football-wise and you want to see a game. I really enjoyed the trip. When Lauren hit that shot on goal, it seemed to hit a tuft of grass at the goalpost that put it wide. Yeah, it did seem to just, I'm not sure if it would have come back off the post, but there was other opportunities. And you have to give the opposition goalkeeper a bit of credit too. She intervened on a couple of crosses that in the past would have resulted in goals. So, but anyway, fantastic season for them. And we've just one big game left coming in January, I think. I'm struggling here. Brendan Devaney's retired for the year, so I'm trying to fill the gap here. But I think that's Neve Padraig, isn't it, in January? Yeah, well, we're all very excited because it's time. It's time to give away some more cash. Fionnuala Rabbitt, our CEO, is with us. Hi, Fionnuala.
Well, in body, if not necessarily in spirit, with cold again. Oh. I'm taking all home remedies for colds if anybody wants to ring in and tell me how I finally knocked
this on the head. Well, it just improved there. You were like this and then you're back normal again. Okay, brilliant stuff.
It's all over the place.
Right, okay, so we've 1,000 to give away today.
Yeah, absolutely. We had a great week last week because all of the winners, which I love to see, were in, I'd say, an hour after they'd won the 1,000 euros.
Yes.
And as I always say about this kind of money when we give this away, this is not money now that I want to see people saving. This is money that I want to see people going cracked over the Christmas and enjoying themselves with.
Right, so
do something you'd love to do with it.
Yeah, for sure, exactly. Spoil yourself. Exactly. So today we're giving away $1,000. Mm-hmm. David's given $1,000 on Tuesday. John Breslin is giving away $1,000 on Wednesday. Ivan Borland, Power Hour Plus on Thursday. And then Lee Gooch on Friday morning. And then this day, next week, we have the little matter of a €30,000 plus Toyota Cross worth over 30, a Luna Cross actually, Yaris Cross Luna worth over 30k.
Yes, absolutely. It's a beautiful car.
Yes. It's still down in the Letterkenny Shopping Centre.
It is still down in the Letterkenny Shopping Centre, yeah. So if anybody wants to go and have a look at it, they can there, or obviously they can call into Kelly's. But it's a lovely car, really lovely crossover, beautiful.
Yeah, brilliant. Okay.
All right.
Now we have done a lot of off air rotating of this Trombola, right. But it really, at the end of the day, you're going to dig in anyway. So, exactly. One more.
You know, I love
okay.
my
car. There we go. Just it's okay, Sean.
He's worried I'm knocking over.
He's afraid he's going to fall off the stand. It has, but you have made sure it's nice and safe.
God,
right, okay, so Fionnuala is digging in deep. Right, she's looking at me. She's pulled out a ticket. Yes, here it is.
Here we go. It is 9598.
Ticket number 9598. Okay, take a seat, Fionnuala, there for a sec. We'll chuck that back in a moment. Yeah. So that person has now won €1,000.
Absolutely. And then they go back in the draw again. Don't be worried, anybody that's won the €1,000, you go straight back in again for the car draw next week.
Exactly. Right. Okay, so we'll see if we can get a name to that. What's the story with the... I'll come back to the car in a second. The colouring competition. Are the lines... are the entrance still open?
No, well, you have until... We're giving it until tomorrow morning just because with the post it can be a bit busy. So we're going to wait and see if anything comes in the post tomorrow. And that... Because today was supposed to be the cut-off day, really.
Aye.
So we'll leave it till the post tomorrow. So that's about like 10 or 11 o'clock. So if, get it into us before lunch tomorrow and you'll be part of it. And then I need to knuckle down then and... and see, but I'm in fairness, some amazing once again,
already.
Some fabulous. Oh my God, there's one in there, and I don't know what the kid really put his imagination into it. It's amazing.
Excellent.
So there's loads of fabulous pictures in it. So really looking forward to the next couple of days now when the rows start.
Yeah, for sure. And we've talked about it before. It's great fun, and it sort of brings Christmas home here when they're all laid out and everyone's up in the judge.
Yeah.
And it's great fun, isn't it, Fionnuala? It's a lovely
thing.
Oh, it
is. I love that
part of it. So we've got three categories and loads of great prizes.
Yeah, absolutely. We've under 12s, under 9s, and under 6s.
Yeah. Okay.
So we have prizes and everything ready to go. So what we're hoping is that we'll have it all done then and announce them, I think, on Friday, is what we're talking about at the moment. And then they'll be here over the weekend and on Monday and Tuesday if anybody wants to come in.
Are you going to do it with me on Friday or somewhere else? Or you're going to announce the winners on this show?
No, we'll do it with you, I think. We'll be down and you're on out and about.
Yeah, we've a couple of gigs out and about before between now and Christmas, so looking forward to that.
Yeah, that'll be great.
And we had Sinead and Alec, her dad, out today at Nasser. They're away to Buncrana on Wednesday. They're going to the Buncrana Community Hospital, McGinn Avenue, Buncrana, a wonderful bouquet of flowers. Were donated there, as well as €500 for the Comfort Fund, which is brilliant. That was in Natheris House today. Then we're going to Buncrana Community Hospital on Wednesday, and then we're in the Archview Lodge Nursing Home on Thursday. And tomorrow, we're at a school. I think it's a surprise at this point, so I'm not going to divulge where that might be. So I love this part of the year. We have to, of course, keep up to date with the current affairs and stuff, but it's still... One second now. I think I've got... Do I have Patricia on the phone with me? Hi, Patricia.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm fine, thanks.
Great stuff. This is Greg here at Highland Radio. Are you well?
Oh, I am well, Greg.
Are you listening?
Yes, I am.
Oh, you're actually listening on the radio?
No, I wasn't listening on the radio because I'll tell you what, I am just off my mobile phone and I turned the radio down.
So you you didn't hear the fact that you are now the you have €1,000 in your bank.
Oh, lovely!
Your number came out.
Brilliant!
And you've just won €1,000.
Oh, so delighted for that, Greg!
Yeah,
Thank you so much.
Congratulations! We'll get that to you before Christmas. You maybe call up for it. Whatever way, we'll sort it out, Patricia. But your number came out. It was number 9598. Your lucky number, and you've just won a grand.
Oh, brilliant and fantastic. It couldn't come at a better time, Greg.
Excellent. And Fionnuala's given you spending advice. She just wants you to spend it. Fionnuala Rabbit's with me here, Patricia. She doesn't want you to bank it. You have to spend it, she says.
Buy yourself something nice, Patricia. That's what you need to do. Blow it all.
And I will do, Fionnuala.
Treat yourself.
I will do.
Treat yourself to something nice now in the January sales.
I always find it interesting to ask the question when you bought your ticket, Patricia.
I bought it online back about... I'll tell you the day that was announced when you had to buy the ticket to be in each draw.
Oh, well, there you go. And you took the advice and here we are. You didn't even think about it. And here we are a couple of weeks later and you've got €1,000 in your pocket.
Yes. And I was 5 minutes late and I thought, I won't be in it now for all the... I was five minutes late in getting it done.
No, we would always, as much as we can, help out. Don't worry about that, Patricia. Listen, fantastic stuff. Congratulations. You've won €1,000. Your ticket's now going back into the draw drum and Fionnuala's just popped it back in and it could come out again. We simply don't know, but you've got €1,000 went away, Patricia. Thank you so much for listening. It's great to have you as a listener. And also thanks for entering and have fun with your money.
Thank you so much for that, Greg.
Bye, Patricia. And thanks, well Vanilla. Done. Your phone will be going again now, by the way. People congratulating you, so you may switch the radio off again.
It will indeed. It will indeed.
All right. Bye-bye, Patricia. That's Patricia Bye. Clark of Ballandrate. And her ticket is back in Fionnuala's Trombola, which is all very good, isn't it? All right, great stuff,
Absolutely.
Isn't it?
Absolutely.
I love it. I love that.
Oh, no, I love this week. It's always really good. It kind of brings a Christmas feeling around because it's tough. Well, you're all lucky now. You've got Hudson, so you've got a young one in the house for the Christmas. But sometimes for the rest of us, it can be a bit hard to get that Christmas spirit going. But it always comes here to Highland this week when we're out and about.
Well, I say to the kids, like, this, I'm in the vibe now. You either jump up on my vibe train or not. I don't care if you're 4. I don't care if you're 18 or 21. I'm enjoying Christmas. Get on board with it.
Oh, I know. And it was lovely to go out to Fawn because, you know, I'm connected to the Nazareth Sisters with my aunt down in Sligo. She's 70 years. We celebrated there in November in the Nazareths. So it was lovely to go up to Fawn
That's
today
right.
and they had a great time. Yeah.
Was the weekend of the award ceremony, wasn't it, too? It was. I know it was.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, it was.
The 23rd, yeah.
Yep. All right,
we get into the big storm.
Okay, so that number's back in. So we've done all that paperwork.
Yeah,
thanks, Patricia, for answering the phone. You don't have to, but it's lovely. Patricia had won that grand anyway, but it's lovely to have a chat and interact with our listeners and touch base, which is fantastic. Thank you so very much indeed. And I'll chat to you on Friday.
Absolutely.
Brilliant, if not before, of course. Yeah. So that's Fionnuala Rabbit there. And well done again to Patricia Clark in Ballandrate, who's won €1,000. Her ticket is back in the Trombola. And the lines are back open again. We still have 5 draws to go. 4 1Ks and a car. It's a beautiful Toyota Yaris Cross Luna. It's worth over €30,000. Thank you very much. I wouldn't mind that. Now, in studio with me is Detective Inspector Siobhan Mullahan, who's of the Donegal Garda Divisional Protective Services Unit based out of Letterkenny Garda Station. Siobhan, thank you so much for joining us. I really do appreciate it.
Good morning, Greg.
And the reason we were keen to talk about this was a contact, and we're going to talk broadly about connected issues, but we were contacted by a grandmother whose 14-year-old granddaughter was very distressed because someone had used artificial intelligence to place her head on a nude body to the point whereby it looked as if it were, I'm told by the grandmother, it looked as if it were a legitimate image. Now, that opens up a whole can of worms, doesn't it? Firstly, it's incredibly distressing. But secondly, do you explain it's not you? What do you do next? Is it a crime? And all those types of questions. And unfortunately, we're probably going to see much more of this going forward, Siobhan, with access to AI becoming, you know, easier for all. So what is the situation if someone creates a despicable image like that?
Yes, so I suppose since 2020, the end of 2020, legislation was brought in Ireland under the Harmful Communications, Harassment and Related Offences Act. And that criminalised sharing of intimate images of persons. And for example, your listener there as well, that could be if it involves an image that has been doctored to show naked person, it could actually be child sexual abuse imagery, which also under the legislation is termed child pornography. And that is a very serious criminal offence. To share, to create it, to distribute it. And we on Garda Síochána take that very, very seriously. Yeah.
So even though the nude intimate element of that picture is not the girl in question, it's still treated as such?
Yes, it's depicting a child. And for a child under 18 to be depicted in such a manner, it actually is child pornography.
Yeah. As the legislation states it. I know there are efforts to try and change that phraseology, child abuse images, but and people are often aghast when they see an article and go, it's not pornography. But unfortunately, at the moment, that's the way the legislation describes it. So that's the correct terminology that's used.
Yeah. And that's under the 1998 Act. So the new Act then in 2020 is in relation to the sharing of intimate images. And so that is where an image is shared of a person without their consent. And I suppose it's a form of sexual violence as well. And it's often a feature of domestic abuse relationships, or it's also a feature of peer bullying and harassment as well, which is a significant problem in Ireland and in Donegal as well. But the offences created in the 2020 Act relate to recording, distribution and publication of intimate images without consent, or even the threat to distribute them as well.
That's critical, because there is quite an impactful advert that's running at the moment. I think it's a young fella calling his mum from the Garda station or wherever it might be and say, look, I didn't do anything wrong. I only says I would send it. I didn't send it, or whatever it might be. So threatening to do what we're talking about is also seen as a crime.
Yeah, it's a really serious crime, and that's Section 2. And on conviction on indictment, there's a penalty of up to 7 years imprisonment for that crime. And I suppose it's showing an image of what is or what purports to be a person's genitals, buttocks or anal region, and in the case of a female, her breasts, or even when it's covered by underwear. So that is, and that includes an AI-generated image, or even sometimes, Greg, photoshopped images as well. It's the same thing. Whether it is a person and their face is used or purporting to be them.
Okay, so that's intimate image abuse, sexual coercion, which you referenced, child sexual abuse imagery and online harassment. Now, Coco's Law, is it under Coco's Law that a lot of these offences are, or all of these offences are dealt with, as you've been outlining, but just to give us a bit more information into that law?
Yeah, so it was named Coco's Law after a campaign by Miss Jackie Fox, who was the mother of the late Nicole Fox, who died by suicide in 2018 following online bullying on social media. So far this year in Donegal, we've had 21 reports under the Harmful Communications Act, which we're actively investigating. And I suppose that compares nationally with over 600 reports this year so far. Last year, there would have been 9 reports. So it is increasing. I think the awareness of the law has increased since it came in late 2020, and people are reporting it.
How important is it to report? Because conversations like this, Siobhan, are going to perhaps raise awareness. But I think... I think the more we actually see issues reported, the more that they pass through the courts where necessary, then what happens is the awareness of this is a no-no. And we hope then that reduces these instances. So it is important, isn't it, that we get the awareness out there. But it is probably going to lead to, through conversations like this and others, efforts of An Garda Síochána, to more reports of it. But that's, in a way... It's terrible that people find themselves in this situation, but the more that it's reported, the better.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I do know that by September, there was over 100 cases in the courts all over Ireland. So I would imagine that will continue to increase. It is a significant problem for young people where somebody is tricked sometimes as well into sharing a naked image of themselves on social media, or sharing it with somebody that they trust, and then that they share it again, or they threaten to share it again. I suppose it's a form of blackmail, but it is taken very, very seriously. And we would urge that people will report it to An Garda Síochána. But there are other support services as well available. And I suppose the main advice I would have for parents or victims is to have an active role in monitoring their social media and their access to it. And I suppose keep open lines of communication with the teenagers and young adults because peer bullying is such a problem. And the practical steps really would be to take screenshots of any conversations, harmful conversations, to block the accounts that are sending the harmful content, and report it to the platform provider as well that they're using. But I suppose anybody that has experienced this can seek advice or make a confidential report to An Garda Síochána. I would advise there is a really useful website, webwise.ie, and that's the Irish Internet Safety Awareness Centre. It provides information and advice and resources for teachers, for parents and for young people, and actually explains all the latest apps and social networks that children are using. As well as that, there is a facility called hotline.ie, and it works quite closely with An Garda Síochána. So if an image of you has been posted online or somebody you know, or it's been shared in message groups, you can actually make a digital report and you simply fill in a form and upload it to hotline.ie, and they work with all the internet service providers to remove that content, not just in Ireland, but internationally as well. The reports are treated anonymously, but if it does contain illegal content or child sexual abuse imagery, they have to report it to an Garda Síochána mandatorily. So, but there are other facilities as well. There's another one called Take It Down, which is ncmec.org, ncmec.org, and that's for under 18s. So it's a free service that removes nude, partially nude or sexually explicit images or videos of under 18-year-olds. And I suppose it gives the victim back control to remove that content.
Just before you go on there, just back to a couple of situations. Unfortunately, there are people out there now with the way social media is, that there can be a bit of victim blaming, OK? So I just want to reference specifically if someone sends an image. So even, say... just some scenarios. So say a 15-year-old boy or girl sent an intimate image to somebody else, right? And that person might say, well, you sent it to me, so I now own it. And this applies to adults as well. I'm just trying to touch on the younger side of it to empower mums and dads and granny and granddads to have the conversation with the young ones. So if someone took a picture of themselves, an intimate picture, and they send it on, and they are threatened with that to be shared or what have you, or I'll put it up on the internet or I'll send it to my friends. Just even if they sent it, that is still a crime. They're being threatened and the person who's doing that is committing a really quite a serious crime there.
Yeah, no, it certainly is a crime. I mean, the person that shared it, they shared it with their consent initially, but they don't give consent for it to be shared otherwise, or even the threat to share it. I mean, that is definitely a control and a power issue. So definitely it is a crime.
Yeah, and also too, I want to reference particular cases because maybe as difficult it is for anyone to speak out, maybe for males it might be even a little bit more difficult, I don't know. But I've heard of cases, and we've been contacted and spoke to people on this programme who someone purporting to be a girl or a fella, depending on their sexual orientation, sent them a picture that wasn't of them in to elicit a picture back. And once they've received that picture, they think they're sending it on Snapchat, maybe flirting or whatever they want to do. Then at that point, then blackmail starts. Now, some people will react in different ways. Someone might say, forget that, I don't care. Others might go to the guards. My concern is, and particularly for young lads and young girls, is that they might internalise it, right? And they might fear what it might mean for them, their jobs, their place in school or their place in the family. Again, those people need to be empowered, I think, to come forward, because the guards are very sensitive to this. They understand this. And again, they are the victims of a crime potentially, and need to, I think, make the authorities known.
Yeah, unfortunately, it is very common, and particularly we see where AI can be used to create those fake accounts and fake profiles of persons, and then used once they request a nude photograph, and then they'll maybe look for a sum of money and threaten them then that they're going to share the image with their contacts or share it widely over the internet. That is a common problem. And as you said, there is a particular shame, unfortunately, for people coming forward. But I would say to them, do not be afraid. Like, you definitely will be treated sensitively.
You're the victim.
Yeah, absolutely. Victim, and yeah, we will give advice. And even if they don't want to make a formal Garda complaint, give them advice on how to take down the image. And we'll make inquiries and we'll report the page that is causing the problem to the platform provider.
Now, you heard Detective Inspector Siobhan Mullahan, is that correct?
That's correct.
Mullahan, give out a number of website addresses and what have you. We're going to link them on our social media as well, because there's some very useful ones, victimscharter.ie. Sorry, we'll get to the support services in a moment, but ncmec.org, Take It Down, and also Stop Non-Consensual Intimate Image Abuse, that's stopncii.org. These are very useful. Hotline.ie was also mentioned. These are very useful tools for parents to have. And I think you made a really interesting point, Siobhan, in that we need to, and many of us do and need to do more, is create an environment, I think, where even if a young person feels that they've done something they shouldn't have, let's say, for instance, share an image, or maybe they're afraid to explain that I didn't, but it was AI, and when you're explaining, you're losing, that sort of a thing. I think it's really important that we have lines of communications open with people, isn't it? So they feel there is a safe, non-judgmental space where they can say, look, Mom, look, Dad, this is happening to me in my life. Please help me.
think we need to ask the young people, you know, what they're accessing and who they're talking to online, and to be careful, and that the person they think they're talking to may not be who they say they are. And just, yeah, keep an open mind and don't be judging the young person. They can get into difficulty not through their own making, and it's things they don't understand. But as I said, that webwise.ie is really, really useful for parents as well, just to explain what people are looking at and using online.
And as well as that too, we need to inform our young people and our older people of the fact that it's a crime,
yes.
Right? Because I think that's what that purpose, that interview, that advert I referenced earlier on, the man in question, he actually doesn't believe he's committed a crime until such time as it's going to come home to roost very, very quickly. So we have to empower people to know what you can and can't do too, if common sense is not there. When there's an international element to it, Siobhan, what is the story there, right? So, you know, the image could have been, maybe you sent it to someone you were, I don't know, had an online relationship with in a different country or something along those lines. Do we work well inter-country in relation to this?
Yes, yeah, so I mentioned NECMEC there, and that's the National Centre for Missing and Exploited Children. And they operate a cyber tip line as well. And that's where people all over the world report harmful content on the internet, especially child sexual abuse imagery. And they work with law enforcement in every country, including Ireland, and they notify us. And we regularly get reports filtered down from our national bureau to go and investigate where harmful content has been uploaded or downloaded locally. So it's very good service there, and certainly there is lots of information online in relation to it.
Yeah, and the support services there are, you know, again, one of the things that troubles me most when people, and when something like this happens, it can feel like the floor has fallen from beneath you. But there are lots of organisations that are there to help, isn't there? Not least on Garda Síochána, Siobhan, when there's a criminal element to it, but some people may not want to progress it that way, but they still potentially need support.
Yeah, and I'd urge them to come forward in that, and use the Garda confidential line as well if they want 1800 666 111, or find your local Garda station on the www.garda.ie. And I suppose if it's an emergency, 999 or 112.
Yeah. You've got the Donegal Domestic Violence Services here, based in Donegal as well. We have those contact details here, donegalrapecrisis.ie, the victimscharter.ie too, that's the National Sexual Violence Helpline, the Donegal Sexual Abuse and Rape Crisis Centre as well, 1-800-448-844, and that directs you locally, and donegalrapecrisis.ie, I think I did mention that, and on Garda Síochána are there as well. So just to recap once again, Siobhan, did you say there's 21
reports so far, yeah, this year.
For what kind of cases is exactly what we've been talking about?
Exactly, yeah. Peer-to-peer as well, bullying and sharing. We would get a lot of reports through the schools of where certain images have been shared to different people and parents reporting it as well. So far 21, and that's an increase on last year. So.
Right, okay. But awareness, or more of it happening, it's that usual. It's normally a mix, isn't it? But I think awareness is a... I'm not sure if your area expect if your area of responsibility goes beyond. Is it a crime to put up a video of a private disagreement between myself and someone else, which was recorded without my knowledge? So I presume that's, say, me and you were having a row back and forth. Someone sneakily recorded it, and they're threatening to put that online. That's a conversation. It's not an image as such.
Yeah, I think unless it has a a sexual content. Or it's explicit in some way, or as I said, if it's a naked image or something like that, if it's a private dispute, I would say it's a civil matter.
Mm-hmm. Of course, and then that could mean there could be libel there, or slander, or whatever the correct terminology is. Detective Inspector Siobhan Mullahan, is there anything that you think important to add before we wrap it up? I hope it's been really useful and reassuring for guardians out there. But anything else you want to say just before we say goodbye?
Just to say thanks very much for giving me the opportunity to talk about it, Greg. It is a real issue, and for people to be aware of it. And I would say for victims of sexual violence and domestic abuse over the Christmas as well, not to suffer in silence and report. And if you need advice or help, ring your local Garda station or any of the support services. And other than that, just wish you, Greg, and your listeners a very happy Christmas.
Brilliant. And I've spoken to many of the team involved in that, and they go above and beyond to try and work with the victims and follow up and check up. And we've made great strides, I think, in recent years, particularly I think, in Donegal, but not exclusively. A very happy Christmas and a peaceful New Year to you, Detective Inspector Siobhan Mullen. Thanks so much for your time.
Thanks, Greg.
Just one other helpline I wanted to read out to you. It's the male advice line. And people, men or women, can be the victims of this type of crime. And sometimes from the stories I've had too, sometimes men are not as good at dealing with it as women are, or vice versa. Listen, it's not about gender at this stage. But the male advice line is 1-800-816-588. And I suppose us as guardians and grandparents and aunts and uncles, if a young one came to that, our reaction could be like, oh, what's going on? What did you do? And I suppose part of that conversation, and it's for me as well, I'm taking this on board. I'm not being preachy, is to say that, right, we need to be there and make sure that our girls and boys have they feel it's safe for them to say to us, look, Mum, look, Dad, someone's made an image of me, or there may be an image circulating of me because, you know, I sent an image to someone. And it can be so distressing for them, and it's, I suppose, give them an outlet that they can talk to us about it. Right, so I think that's all covered. We had a lovely time today with the serious stuff in there as well, but the lovely trip we had to Nazareth House in Farn. We're out at a school tomorrow. I can't reveal too much more about that, but Lee Gooch will be hooking in, and I'm looking forward to that. On Wednesday, we're at Buncrana Community Hospital. On Thursday, we're at Archview Lodge Nursing Home, and we're out and about on Friday as well, and I think Monday or Tuesday next week as well. So it's all very exciting. Right, so that is where we have to leave it on the programme today. My thanks to Caroline Orr, who researched and produced the show, as always, unless she's off, which is not very often, in fairness. We'll be back with you tomorrow morning at 9.